Also, just real quick, whenever I say the word ablaze, I think of, do you know the meme of, like, the fireman carrying out the cat? This a fireman carrying a cat out of the fire, and the cat is, like, looks pure evil. And the caption is, like, 'twas I that set the house ablaze.
No, hold on. I'm gonna find it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna find it?
Yeah. Okay, here it is. Like, look at that cat.
For some reason, I didn't realize it'd be a real photo.
Yeah!
I thought it was gonna be a cartoon. Oh, that's really funny.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood boys, but most importantly, Bollywood girls.
Bollywood girls and the Bollywood boys who break their hearts and then say sorry.
Yeah, yeah, which is a nice twist on that old gem, that old chestnut.
That old chestnut, yeah. We're watching Bachna e Hasino this week. Which I had seen and Katie had not. Katie, what did you think?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
A lot. Good. Yeah. And it was honestly, like, deeper than I expected it to be.
Yeah, yeah.
It had a more emotional message, I think, than I was expecting based on the plot. And I enjoyed it. I liked all the dance numbers. Like, there was a good amount of music. Yeah. I don't know if it's because of the romantics. I think it's not only because of the romantics, but I do think that watching the romantics helped me appreciate and see certain choices, you know, more clearly.
For
like,
sure, yeah.
As far as, like, representing the women in the movie.
Yeah.
When I think I probably would have been a bit harsher if I didn't have that background. And I maybe wouldn't have given it the full, like, oh, okay, like, I see what's happening here.
Right.
Yeah. When was the last time you watched this? A couple years ago?
I think it was a couple years ago. And I had definitely seen DDLJ when I first watched it, but I don't think I had put together that, like, oh, they're both Yash Raj films, and Aditya Chopra wrote both of those scripts. And
yes.
So, like, definitely those connections, like, on a deeper, more expansive level weren't there. But there have absolutely been better representations of women in cinema before.
Yeah.
But I do think its heart is in the right place, and there weren't moments that I was like, that's terrible and doing damage. There were just moments where I was like, we could have expanded upon this, or we could have, like, done this in a slightly different way, but nothing, no, like, major criticisms from me. I had a lot of fun watching it for a second time and knowing that Raj was going to redeem himself by the end.
Yeah. No, and I agree with that, too. I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah. We do have to talk about our cast. And I know who they are.
I was like, you sound so somber.
And I will tell you.
They're all dead.
As we said, the movie was written by Aditya Chopra. It was directed by Siddharth Anand, which is fun. We've got
very different very from his other fair
previous movies we've talked about directed by him. Ranbir Kapoor stars as Raj, Deepika Padukone is Gayatri, Bipasha Basu is Radhika, and Manisha Lamba is Mahi. And I think we would be remiss if we did not also mention Kunal Kapoor and his cameo, his extended cameo.
I wasn't going to bring him up until we got to that part. But it will not surprise you. It will not surprise you that I'm watching it and I'm like, ooh, he's handsome. Like, I like him. Yep. And then I was like, is that Kunal Kapoor? And I was like, no, it's not him. And then I looked it up and I was like, it is him. It no wonder is. I think he's handsome.
Yep, because he is. Because it's true. Because
he is. Also, even if he weren't Kunal Kapoor, he'd be handsome.
He'd still be handsome. Yep.
What a delight.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it. So, We open, of course, with our title number, Bachna e Hasino. A nice modern update of the original song.
Yes.
In which an adorable Ranbir Kapoor dances in several deeply 2000s style outfits.
That's exactly what I said. These outfits are so 2000.
I think it's mostly the cargo pants for me.
Yeah.
Just all the different cargo pants.
Well, and like the women's outfits too.
Yeah.
With like the dropped belt, you know, like the dropped waist belt and just everything.
The mini dresses and the sparkles and
Can you hear that?
I did hear the little dream woofs. Whoa. Big ones.
Very far away. Yeah, she's making
a lot of noise. She must be having a good dream or a bad dream.
Yeah, it's a night terror. Anyway.
The lyrics of the song warn us that we will be falling in love with Ranbir Kapoor's character, Raj, and there's just simply nothing we or he or anyone else can do about it. It's just going to happen.
Yeah. Here's my thing. I actually did not like his character for the majority of this film.
Same. Yeah, same.
Even, dare I say, maybe the entirety of it.
Yeah.
Not quite the entirety of it. By the end of it, I was like, you're fine.
Yeah. By the end of it, I was like, you do deserve love.
Yes.
But that's as far as I feel like I could go with Raj.
Yes. But, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
To each their own.
To each their own. Yeah. And we can still find the story entertaining.
Oh, yes.
After our opening number, Raj tells us in a voiceover that love, pyar, ishq, mohabbat, it's a powerful force that can change your life. And if you're lucky, you only find it once. But Raj, it took him 3 tries.
Mm-hmm.
And we start our first chapter, our first love story, and we see Mahi, 1996.
Yes.
Raj and his friends are taking a post-high school trip through Switzerland, which may sound familiar.
Yes, it's very DDLJ, and I loved it.
Very DDLJ. And he's complaining about how this trip has not delivered as many opportunities to meet cute girls as he feels he was promised. But lucky for him, there's a very sweet, cute girl named Mahi on the train. And Mahi, we learn, has seen DDLJ 17 times, and she is here to find her Raj.
Of course she is.
And these two bump into each other on their way to the bathroom, and they are immediately smitten and go back to their friend groups to brag about how they saw a cute person. At the next train stop, because they are on a train, I don't remember if I said that, Raj and his friends approach Mahi's friend group as the Doom theme plays, but 3 of the 4 boys then veer off at the last minute, leaving just Raj's best friend, Sachin, alone. And Sachin ends up getting scared off because, unlike Simran and DDLJ, Mahi is traveling with her family, including her very tall, very intimidating dad.
Yeah. Also kind of attractive.
Also pretty, yeah. I mean, like, listen, we like beards and we're not going to pretend
we
like we
don't. Beards and we like men. Come at me.
Try to stop us. Sachin is able to pull aside one of Mahi's friends, and he learns that she's obsessed with DDLJ, and she is looking for her Raj. When Sachin tells Raj this news, Raj wonders why she is looking for him. But then Sachin clarifies, and Raj asks him to remind him of the plot of the film, because Raj fell asleep during DDLJ.
I also think it's very funny that Ranbir Kapoor is like, I loved DDLJ.
I know.
But then this character is like, ugh.
He naturally was very into it. Mm. Raj somehow then gathers a group of like 20 musicians and finds a mandolin lying around on the streets of Switzerland. And and he's playing Tuji Dekato. And Mahi overhears this, and she gets very excited, but Raj, like, pretends not to notice her and goes off away.
My favorite part of this whole, like, all the musicians playing the DDLJ theme song is all the white people. All the white people bopping in the back. They're all, they're just like, mm-hmm, and it's like, mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. And they're just, like, maybe bopping a little too quickly.
Yeah, there's First of all, there's a lot of white people bopping in this movie. Yeah. Because there's a lot of time spent in Europe in various locations.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I enjoy that. I hope they had a good time. I like thinking of the call for extras for this movie.
Yeah.
Just like, come be in a Bollywood movie. Have a good time.
And it is, you know what? It's a catchy tune. Like, it's hard to now look back and separate my emotion from hearing that song.
Right.
But I do feel like even just hearing it and not knowing, like, oh, yeah.
Like the mandolin, yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. It's a good time.
Oh, God, I love it.
Now, it's unclear to me what happens in the next moment, but somehow Mahi has missed the train. She, like, wandered off looking for Raj, and then she continued wandering. He made it onto the train. She did not.
Yeah, and she was, like, eating something and reading? Casual.
She was just having a good time in this Swiss city. But so Raj sees her chasing after the train, and he's like, well, crap. she's missing the train. And so he presumably gets off and runs back to the station. So he introduces himself, and she is just so excited. She's meeting a literal Raj. He's here. Yes. It's happening.
Very exciting.
Yes. So Raj then goes and he learns from the station master that the next train to Zurich, which is where they were headed, is leaving at 6 p.m. that evening. But he tells Mahi that it's not leaving until the following evening. And so they send a message ahead to her parents, and she and Raj rent a scooter to make the journey, since Raj cannot afford a red convertible.
I did appreciate that touch. Yeah. He was like, I'm not rich. I spent all my money on this scooter.
Great. Yeah. As they drive, Mahi tells Raj that she's always been lucky, and when he asks how she then had the misfortune of missing the train, she says that she doesn't see it as a misfortune at all.
Ooh.
They have some cute shenanigans together. They basically, like, rob a chocolate shop.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same chocolate shop from DDLJ. I meant to look that up, but it looked very similar.
Oh, that's fun.
But then Raj decides that they haven't had enough time together, and so he claims that they have run out of gas as they're driving in the middle of the night, and so they have to, like, walk the scooter into the next town and find somewhere to sleep. But there's nobody out, because it's the dead of night, and so they just sit on a bench together and they talk about the stars. It's very romantic.
Yes. Sorry, I just, for some reason, got in the dark of the night, evil is calling.
Terror's the least I can do.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Just a little dose of Anastasia for you all.
Just some Rasputin. Just what everyone needed.
My bro Rasputin, you know.
Oh, hilarious.
Anyway, Mahi then reveals in this conversation that just like in DDLJ, she is going to be getting engaged as soon as she goes back home to India. And so Raj, he's very sweet. He kind of stumbles over an apology because he was kind of amping up to make a move. But once he finds out that she's engaged, he pulls back. But then with a little bit of prompting from Mahi, he does tell her that he wrote her a poem. And he reads her this poem. It's very sweet. And then they both reveal that they have feelings for each other that they have never felt for anyone else before.
Hmm.
Mahi then tells Raj that her life is going to be good as long as they're together hanging out. And then he says, well, then it's going to be good forever. And they kiss.
Yes.
And it's really cute because they kiss and Raj, and then they're just like in shock.
Yeah.
And Raj is like, wow. I do believe in this moment that he was swept up in this and had actual, like, feelings for her.
I do, too. Yeah. Like, no boy is just gonna, like, ironically write a poem for a girl he thinks is pretty.
Even though he didn't actually write it down, he still created that poem. It still came out of his mind.
Yeah.
But this does launch us into our next dance number, Ahista, Ahista.
Mm-hmm.
We see them bopping around Switzerland, making friends with a biker gang, which was another point where I was thinking about, like, how did they cast the extras? They're just like, we need a bunch of bikers who can also, like, dance and wave their arms around.
Yeah, well, it was like a fun, like, snake body move. Roll.
Yeah, I liked
it.
Fun.
Mm-hmm, me too.
They also are playing in the snow in some very insufficient attire for the winter weather, I felt.
Always.
Yeah. They don't feel the cold.
I feel like that's a classic Bollywood move.
Yeah, just rolling around in the snow in a t-shirt. Yeah.
Yep.
After this number, Raj drops Mahi at the airport so she can meet up with her family, and Mahi's dad gives Raj a big hug and tells him to come and visit them in Amritsar anytime. Raj promises that Mahi that he will come to Amritsar and he will stop her engagement, but then he goes and he meets up with his friend group and he starts bragging to them about this conquest that he has made. Mm-hmm. And poor Mahi overhears this, and she also discovers that he did not, in fact, write the poem, although, again, he did create the poem, but it's the overhearing of the boys talk that is really hard for her. And she starts crying, and then Raj sees that she has overheard him, and, again, I think it's pretty clear that he knows he messed up, but he doesn't say anything to her in this moment, and he just walks away.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so strange. It's like he committed to a path mm-hmm. in this moment. He was classic Danny in Greece.
Yeah, definitely. It's very summer loving all up in mm-hmm. here. And Raj says in another voiceover that, you know, what do you want from me? I was only 18. That's my impression of Raj. and he never had actually planned to marry her, and he assumed that she would forget about him in a month.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that he thought that.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. No, I think that's very valid. But then we are on to our next chapter, Radhika 2002. Mm-hmm. Raj is now living in Mumbai, and he is working for Microsoft with his friend Sachin. And he moves into his first apartment that he has all to himself. But unfortunately, he finds that he has a neighbor who likes to play very loud music in the morning. And he and this neighbor have a shouting match through the wall about the music. And then Raj goes and pounds on his neighbor's door. And it turns out that this neighbor is a gorgeous woman named Radhika.
Yeah.
A woman whose bone structure simply does not quit.
It honestly, like, does not seem real.
I know.
And, like, I'm sure it is. Like, yeah. But, yeah, like she was made by a computer.
I know. Like, all her angles are just like, whoa.
Yeah.
But so Radhika is living in Mumbai trying to become a movie star. And Raj, seeing her beauty, has forgiven the ills of playing the music loudly. He asks her once sure. more to turn it down, adding that he's from a good family and makes a good salary, and he goes to the gym. You know, he's got it all. And Radhika does apologize, and it seems like maybe she's not fully opposed to the charm that she sees before her. Maybe no, it's the cargo pants, have, who knows?
It could be the cargo pants. You know what, actually, I can get behind a pair of cargo pants.
You know, like, you can fit a lot of stuff in those pockets.
You can fit a lot of stuff, and there's something about the how shapeless they make your butt look yeah. that it makes it look good.
Like, yeah, if cargo pants are flattering on you, it's like the burlap sack thing. Yeah. It's like, if you can make cargo pants look good, then you must look good.
Exactly. But also, yeah, always a delight to find out you have an attractive neighbor.
Absolutely. We get a little mini montage of Raj timing his exits from his apartment with Radhika's so that they can talk to each other. He goes and asks Radhika for sugar. She comes and asks him for some sugar. And they start mm-hmm. to kind of hang out and get to know each other. And then one night they go for a walk and they get caught in the rain. And as they're heading back to their apartments, they get in a crowded elevator.
Yeah.
And because of the crowd, they're forced to stand very close to each other. And then I love this. They, like, everyone's leaving the elevator, yeah. but they just stay that close just to stay. Each other.
yeah, it's that magnetism.
Yeah. And then they make out. And
yeah. great, as they should.
Great. Yeah, I would too. with either of them, honestly. And they date for 4 months, and then they decide to move in together, not by actually moving into one or the other of their apartments, but by tearing down the wall between the two apartments.
Yeah, can you just, like, do that?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. But maybe they got permission from the landlord. Who knows? Hopefully it wasn't a load-bearing wall.
Yeah, just...
anyway, Raj tells us in a voiceover that he was sure they would be together forever, but, you know, like, the version of forever that's only about a year and a half is what mm-hmm. he's thinking. So then Raj and Sachin find out that they are getting transferred to Sydney, Australia for work, and they're both extremely excited about this. And Sachin is surprised when Raj says that he wants to, you know, maybe meet some Australian girls, because he had assumed that Radhika would move to Sydney with them. But Raj is like, nah, she's a modern woman. She knows that this isn't anything serious. We're just, like, in a live-in relationship, but we're not going to get married. She's trying to become a movie star. She's not going to want to come and leave. And just,
he's making,
like,
a lot of assumptions.
So many assumptions. And also, like, the thing of men pretending like they're not in a committed relationship when they very much are. It's just something that gets to me, because that's a way I've been treated in the past, and I did not enjoy it.
It's not cool. It was around this time that I just found myself wondering, like, who hurt you? Because we don't see anything that would lead you to be this horrible of a person to women that you supposedly at least like a little bit, who are also just, like, very sweet, nice women.
Yeah.
What is, why? Why?
I feel like it's just the perception of that this is how he should behave. Like, this is how guys are. Guys are just guys. I mean, look at who his friends are. Just Sachin.
Yeah, they're not great.
He's terrible. Yeah, but so Raj delivers the news to Radhika, and she's like, don't worry about it. We'll just have a really low-key wedding before we leave. We'll just get married at the courthouse. And Raj is shocked by this and is like, well, what about your career? And Radhika's like, no, you're more important to me than my career.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously this was not what Raj was expecting. And so he and Sachin devise several schemes to try to convince Radhika that she doesn't want to marry Raj, instead of Raj telling Radhika, I don't think this has a future. You should stay here and do your own thing. But no, gotta manipulate women, because that's more fun.
Well, and he's just a coward.
And he's a coward, that too. I particularly wanted to mention their choice to tell Radhika that Raj is sterile, because every woman wants to have kids. That's a given. And no woman would want to marry a quote-unquote damaged product. But Radhika is a lovely and non-judgmental woman, and she does want to have kids, and she's like, we can just adopt. That's fine.
Yeah.
Because she loves him unconditionally. Wow.
Right. It is nice that, you know, you're seeing these assumptions intentionally playing out on the screen of, like, assumptions of what a man is supposed to be in a relationship and assumptions of what a woman is supposed to want. And then you're actively seeing that's not the case.
Right. That just the rug getting pulled out from that assumption immediately. Yes.
Which is good. I like that. Yeah.
So finally, Raj and Sachin conspire to throw a very raunchy looking bachelor party. And when Radhika walks in on this, she just shuts herself in their bedroom. So Raj goes in after her, and Radhika is, as usual, being very level-headed in this moment where Raj is expecting her to just, like, fly off the handle. It's like, do you even know this woman? Anyway.
Clearly not. She seems magical.
She really does.
She is a unicorn.
Yeah, and I was also going to mention that Bipasha Basu was nominated for a bunch of, like, Best Supporting Actress awards for this movie.
Great.
Which, yeah, I think is awesome. She did a phenomenal job. But anyway, she starts to get emotional, and she tells Raj that she can tell that, you know, something's been off lately, something's not quite right here. And she's like, you're starting to act like Sachin, and that's not great.
Yeah.
And before Raj can answer, Radhika starts to cry, and Raj cannot handle a woman showing emotion in front of him. And so he's like, no, I love you. I'm happy to be marrying you. But it's just that you've been too emotional lately, and that's just been really stressful for me. And so she apologizes to him.
That is gaslighting.
Yes!
It's horrible. She should not be apologizing. She's actually been very level-headed and understanding of all of his shenanigans. And the first time that she shows vulnerability, he's like, oh my God, you've just been so emotional, and that's why I'm acting this way?
Right.
No, man. No.
You are the cause of this, and all you need to do is be honest, which is not that hard.
And that's what she literally gave you an opening.
Yep, right there in front of you, and you just turned the other way.
Gonna be honest, I hate him at this point.
Yes, he's very easy to hate at this point. So the day of their planned courthouse wedding arrives, Radhika gets all dressed up and goes with her friends, but Raj is already on a plane to Sydney with Sachin, toasting a new life. and we see poor Radhika weeping on the stairs of the courthouse alone.
Yeah, that is literally the worst.
It's absolutely the worst thing you could do to a person, yeah.
Can't even imagine. Yeah. Because, again, that's the thing. It's not like he didn't like her from the start. No. He did like her.
Yeah, he just didn't want to marry her, and that's okay. He just needed to tell her that and not leave her at the altar.
Yeah. Oh, God.
In another voiceover, Raj explains that he couldn't handle the crying, and so he decided to break her heart and that that would be easier. And then I'll say the quiet part out loud. Easier for him.
Yeah. Much harder for her.
Much, much harder for her. So now it is time for our final love chapter, Gayatri 2007. Raj is living in Sydney. He's loving it. He loves the chilled out beach vibes, and he loves walking to work every day surrounded by a bunch of women, all of whom are wearing black shirts.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was like, there's literally nothing but women. And they're all in the same color.
They're all wearing the same color shirt. Yeah. But he and Sachin are thriving in their new jobs and with their new looks. Raj with his teeny tiny unframed glasses. And Sachin with highlights, which really makes me wonder if Adi Chopra, like, liked highlights. Because,
yeah.
I don't know.
He uses them a lot.
Maybe he had them during this era. So, like, he wrote all these characters who had them, too.
Imagine quiet, kind of homebody Adi, like, wearing highlights.
What if that was why he was so reclusive?
Oh, my God, yeah.
And avoided the public light. He's like, I don't look good with these highlights, but... But I need them. They're who I am.
I need them. Oh, that's great.
Anyway, Raj is making out with a woman in the back seat of a cab one night, but he angers this woman when he forgets her name and she ditches him alone in the cab. Mm-hmm. But then his cab driver reveals herself to be the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah.
And this is Gayatri, and she teases him for having the world's fastest hookup and then breakup.
Mm-hmm.
So he gives her his address to bring him home, and she calls him a spoiled rich boy, and he can only agree.
Also, she's just, like, so adorable.
She really is. And she's just, like, so clever. And I just enjoy her in so
many
ways.
Love everything about Deepika always. Yeah. And also, she just keeps getting hotter as she gets older.
It's wild. It's crazy. She's going to be someone's mom soon. I can't wait.
Oh, God, that's right.
The most beautiful child in the world. Anyway, when she drops him off, Raj is, you know, he's kind of given Gayatri the eyes. And she gives him her card and tells him that he can call her anytime for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And Raj is very enthusiastic about seeing Gayatri again. And so he soon thereafter calls her asking for a ride. She is in the middle of dropping off some clients who she's like taking in all their like business insider tips and like filing it away in the back of her mind, or actually writing it down. It's very cool.
She's great.
She's excellent.
She's like hustling. She's an independent lady who's like clever and beautiful and
does not need a man.
No.
Which, it's okay to want a man, but good for her for just not caring. But anyway, Raj expects Gayatri to remember who he is, and she doesn't at first, which I also really love. And then he reminds her that he's the, you know, hookup and breakup guy. And so she goes to pick him up and finds him sitting on a park bench in nothing but his boxers. And then the woman who he has presumably been hooking up with throws all of his clothes over a balcony onto him. This is interesting that this is where we find him and just whatever was happening there.
I also think it's interesting that he didn't have anything on his person, but he did have her, like,
card,
you know, business card.
So keeping it in his boxers.
Like, yeah. Okay.
Like, he's ready for anything. That is a really good thought that I hadn't thought about.
Yeah. Where was that?
Yeah. Anyway.
We'll never know.
We never will, nor do I feel like I want to. So Gayatri, of course, laughs at Raj, who's in a ridiculous situation, but then the two of them go and get some cheap food and sit by the ocean to watch the sunrise. Gayatri reveals that she's in business school during the day, and then she drives the cab at night, and Raj assumes that she will be getting married sometime soon, but Gayatri tells him that she has no interest in marriage. And then she is also careful to say there's no problem with wanting to get married. She has no issues with that, but it's just not for her. She's perfectly happy and fulfilled without a husband.
Yes, she is.
Excellent. She then tells Raj that they should go because she's been leaving the meter running on the cab this whole time.
Yep. This is when I noticed that she had been driving in heels.
Oh, God.
Yeah, her shoes were heels. Like, not like crazy stilettos, but definitely like a solid 2-inch heel. And I was like, girl.
That doesn't seem fun. Yeah, no.
How are you driving in heels? I don't know.
Yeah. I wouldn't. I've never done that. In fact, I have like taken off heels and driven barefoot rather than.
Yes, also terrifying.
Yeah, and illegal.
Yep. Especially when you've got little women feet.
It just falls between the pedals all the time.
It's hard sometimes.
You have narrow feet. I have wide feet. Like, I feel like I don't have that problem. My feet are little.
I had a
squares.
Real issue.
Oh, that's funny. So Raj next encounters Gayatri at the grocery store where she also works, and he is there buying mostly adult magazines and condoms, like you do.
Yep.
And so she happens to be the one who's cashing him out, and as this is happening, Raj gets an angry phone call from Sachin because Raj missed a meeting about a game launch that they're supposed to be going to. And Raj tells Gayatri this, and she immediately knows that the launch is for Halo 3 because she's very aware of what is happening in both the business and the gaming world.
Yes, she is.
And so he invites her to this launch party, and she agrees, and she shows up looking like an absolute goddess, of course. Mm-hmm. How could she not? And she goes around just, like, wowing everybody at the party with her knowledge of gaming systems, because she knows non-traditional hot girl things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Non-traditional hot girl things, the title of my memoir. Yeah.
But Raj is fully obsessed with her at this point, and so he asks her to dance, and he tells us in a voiceover that he is falling in love.
Mm-hmm.
We get a quick montage of Raj and Gayatri hanging out, where he's just, like, staring at her, and she's just like, what? Why are you staring at me?
I do love that montage.
Yeah.
It's so good, because she's just always like, this creep, stop
staring at me.
But I also think she kind of likes
it. I think she likes it. She's definitely into him, too.
Yes.
And he then surprises her with a trip to Venice, and we get our next dance number, Kuda Jane, which is a fun song. This has gotten stuck in my head more than once in the past.
It's a really nice one. Yeah. It's got, like, the swelling emotion.
Yes.
It doesn't really belong on my Bollywood Jams playlist, but no. I definitely need it somewhere.
Somewhere you can rock out to it.
Yeah. Also, her first colorful dress that we see is so 2000s.
It was like, the white one with the flowers.
With the yes. I was like, I swear that was what my dress for, like, my sixth grade graduation was like.
Yeah, with, like, the really big, like, applique flower. Like, you are so right. Everything, there were so many strapless dresses in this movie that I was like, traumatized by. Because I remember when that was in, and I don't look good in strapless things. And it just
also
wasn't,
like,
for me.
When you couldn't wear strapless things to, like, school or anything, so then you'd get one of the little, like, short sleeve shrug things that hit at your waist but covered your boobs but didn't actually, like, close.
No, it just was there. And then you have your low waisted jeans and your colorful belt, and then your, like, your, like, flimsy scarf that you have tied around your waist. Yeah.
Yes, a Rithik scarf.
Yes. As they shall always be called.
I also just wanted to call attention to Raj's, like, collar of his, like, white shirt. It's like an Elvis collar. It is poppin'.
Love it. Love that for Raj. My favorite fashion moment was when they're on the beach and Gayatri is wearing, like, a chartreuse floral dress, and then Raj is wearing a chartreuse belt and he's shirtless.
Yes. Yeah, it's good.
I love the matching. It's great. So back in Sydney, Raj decides that despite being told very clearly by Gayatri that she does not want to get married, that who cares about that? He's just going to propose to her.
Yeah, yeah.
not great. Not ideal, no.
Surely she didn't mean what she said.
Right, or not, like, he's changed her. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because, of course, this doesn't go over well. Gayatri first asks him if he's joking, and then she begs him not to spoil things.
Yeah. And then... It is a very romantic proposal, though.
It is a very romantic proposal. Lots of candles with a fountain. Mm-hmm. It's lovely. And then she does something that she absolutely does not need to do, which is apologize for leading him on and giving him the wrong impression. Didn't do either of those things.
She said, literally, when they were first hanging out, she was like, I'm not interested in marriage.
That's not it for me. Yep.
He just chose not to listen.
Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But then she kind of further elaborates, saying that what she doesn't want is to give anyone power over her life. So that's why she doesn't want to have a husband. And Raj is like, no, but your love, it changed me. And she says, well, it didn't change me.
Mm-hmm.
And as she leaves, he begs her to give him another chance, saying that he can slow down and be patient for the right moment. But she tells him that she can't promise him that that moment will ever come. And then Raj is shocked to find himself crying, and he realizes that his heart is broken and that he is haunted now by his past loves and the women whose hearts he has broken in what I think it's important to note is a much less kind way than Gayatri, who did not, I don't think she broke his heart. His heart is just broken by the situation.
Right. She did everything right.
Yes.
And he did everything wrong in his previous relationships.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But at least he is now awakened to that reality. I think intermission falls in here, and then we get another quick montage where Raj is just kind of wandering sadly around Sydney wearing two different pairs of unframed tiny glasses.
Yeah.
It's his look.
It was everyone's look. It
was sad. Mine included. Mine had frames, but they were tiny. Raj then tells Sachin that he has seen the error of his ways and he wants to go and apologize to Mahi and Radhika. So he gets on a plane and he heads to Amritsar. And there he learns that Mahi is now Mrs. Ahluwalia.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to her house, where upon introducing himself, he is punched in the face and then kidnapped by her husband, Joginder.
Yes. 10 out of 10, Joginder. Yes. He knows. He knows what's up.
He does. Yeah, this is Kunal Kapoor. Joginder takes Raj to the woods. The woods just outside Amritsar. I don't know, maybe that's real, but that just seemed funny to me.
And also just like lit a fire. I was like, you guys going camping?
I guess. It's hot when a man knows how to light a fire.
It really is.
Not so much when he aims a rifle at you, but...
Or sets things on fire.
That's also not fun. We don't like that.
An important distinction. It's capital H hot when a man can light a fire, and it's lowercase h hot when a person...
Sets things ablaze.
Yeah. Just so we know.
Just to clarify. Yeah, just so everyone's clear on that.
Let's also just, for a moment, talk about Raj's quest to apologize to these women.
Yeah, sure.
My thing is, I don't actually think he's doing it for them.
Oh, no, of course not. He's doing it for him. Yeah.
He's doing it for him. And my one kind of thing is that it does help them when he apologizes.
Yeah, that was my culminating note, is that I feel like I think it would have been so much better if these women had just fully moved on and forgotten about him.
As they should, right? After 12 and 8 years. But anyway, getting ahead of you, sorry.
No, that's
just
okay.
Wanted to put that point out there.
Absolutely. I fully, completely agree with that. That would have been the much more, empowering feminist message. But story-wise, here we are. So Joginder, Mahi's husband, takes Raj into the woods and threatens him with a shotgun. But really, he is a big softy. And he reveals that he has been in love with Mahi since before she even met Raj. And long before they actually got married. But after Mahi's encounter with Raj, she has been totally unable to see or reciprocate Joginder's love and adoration for her.
Yeah, that is so upsetting to me. Yeah. That this one, like, 3-day fling with Raj would then keep her from expressing love in, like, a 10 to 12 year marriage with a man who, like, genuinely loves her and cares for her.
Yeah.
I just, like, don't want Raj to have that power over this woman.
I know. I agree. And I wish that, like, I understand why they wanted it to happen in 1996 so that it could be, like, right after DDLJ came out. But, like, I wish that these had been 1 year and then the next year and then the next year. Because I think that that makes a lot more sense that a woman who, like, her first love ditches her in a really cruel way.
Yeah.
And then she gets into an arranged marriage. And then 2 years later, she, like, hasn't been able to reciprocate her. Like, that feels like that a much more reasonable timeline.
Yes. Rather than, like, 12 years. Like, and it's just like,
like, we have two children together.
Yeah, lady, he's not worth it.
He's really not. Yeah.
No. He's really not. Like,
but so Raj then realizes that Joginder is in fact Mahi's Raj, which is very sweet. And he offers to talk to Mahi, but Joginder is like, no, you're not talking to my wife. Stay away from us. So Raj goes back to his hotel and he orders a milkshake with a straw because he has been punched in the face. And at the bar, he overhears some guys toasting to the upcoming nuptials of one of their friends. And Raj realizes that the young man who is getting married is engaged to one of Mahi's relatives. And so he sends over champagne, and then he gets in good with the groom and his friends, and then the groom invites him to the wedding festivities. But so the first night of the celebrations, Mahi completely avoids Raj, and so the night of the Sangeet, he decides that he's gotta take it up a notch, and so he bribes one of her two sons with a copy of Halo 3, and then he has the boy pretend that his brother is sick so that Mahi will then go and check on him.
Mm-hmm.
And when Mahi walks into the room, it's Raj who is waiting for her, but she says that they have nothing to say to each other. Raj tries to apologize, but Mahi says that she's not some holy place where he can wash away his sins. And then she says, fine, I forgive you if that's what it takes to get you to go away. Raj tells her that she should open her heart to Joginder, which she pretty reasonably is upset about, saying that she loves Joginder and he knows it, and Raj doesn't need to get involved in their relationship, but that she learned from Raj that love shouldn't be shown, because that's not real.
What?
I know.
That makes no sense.
It really doesn't. But Raj says that Joginder is waiting patiently for her to show him her love, and love is hard to win, but easy to lose. So he leaves her with this thought, and then Joginder finds Mahi crying upset from this conversation with Raj, and he simply offers her his handkerchief. And he helps her wipe away her smudged makeup. And just like Suri and Rabne, it's this small gesture of love and affection that convinces Mahi that this is love, that she loves this man, and she wants to show it to him. And you can see this change in the way that she's looking at him.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
He's so much better than Raj.
I know, yeah.
He's been there for like 12 years.
Maybe that's more what it was. It was just the reminder of like, oh yeah, Raj is just a bad person. Yeah. My husband is a lovely person. But now it is time for Jogi Mahi, which is my favorite number. It's one of my all-time favorites.
It's great.
I love this number.
It's my favorite, too.
It's so good. It's so great. How could it not be? Raj is singing confidently about Joginder and Mahi's love, and he's playing a drum, which I love that he then just, like, tosses into the crowd.
Yes. Who cares if it hits an old person?
No, just let it fly like a frisbee. He later, like, finds his mandolin again. There's just always mandolins conveniently staged around for Raj. But then he hands it over to Joginder, and Joginder sings. And that's what I really love about this number is, like, the different voices singing the different parts. It just, it feels very, like, Broadway to me. It feels like a musical, and I really enjoy that a lot.
It's very catchy as well.
It's very catchy.
I did immediately add it to my Bollywood Jams playlist.
Yeah, deservedly so.
Yeah.
It's a good bop. I also really am always impressed by Ranbir Kapoor's dancing. I forget when like watching a movie like Animal, where I get sort of swept away by his acting, because obviously you can do both of those things well, but like I sort of forget that he's also a really phenomenal dancer.
Yeah, and this is a fun, it looks like a dance that Hrithik would do.
I felt the same way. I thought it felt like he wasn't quite boneless, but he was almost boneless. It's very fluid.
He's mostly boneless.
It's not all boneless, but mostly boneless. Mostly boneless is slightly having bones.
Yeah. So too brave.
Oh, it's always so good. It's always so good.
Disruptor.
In the best possible way. I never want it to change. Over the course of this dance number, we see like Raj kind of continuing to play Cupid as Joginder and Mahi come together. He's just sort of like awkwardly kind of pops up over their shoulders just to be like, hey, fall in love again.
Yes.
But, you know, by the end, it's like he's done his job and everybody's happy, everybody's celebrating. And I like that he, you know, he kind of slowly like strides out of the celebrations.
Yeah, he's not needed here. I mean, he wasn't really needed, but again, he kind of was because he fixed things. And I wish he hadn't.
I wish that hadn't been what the plot was, but it was. And now his work is done.
Yes.
So after the number, Raj leaves Mahi and heads to Radhika, saying that he now knows the kind of person he wants to be, and he never wants to hurt anyone again.
That's good.
Good for him. Yeah, shouldn't want to hurt people in the first place, but...
Yeah, right? Like, that's the thing.
Radhika, we learn, has achieved her goal of becoming a big movie star, and she now goes by the name Shreya Ratode. And this launches us into our next dance number, Lucky Boy, which is Radhika as Shreya on her film set dancing and looking fly.
Yeah, also kind of catchy.
It's very catchy. This song has been stuck in my head since I watched the movie.
Yeah.
I also really like her like long ponytail and then the sparkly mini dress. It's very cute.
It feels very Crazy Chiare.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very Crazy Chiare.
Which are very similar eras. Yes. So it makes sense. I was like, the sleek high ponytail is such a good look for these gorgeous women with beautiful bone structure.
It really is. Showing off the bone structure. Just, yeah. After this number, though, we see that Radhika, she's become a bit of a diva. She's not the nicest of people to her staff. She makes a racist comment about one of her backup dancers. She fires her assistant for giving her the wrong brand of water. It's all a little much.
Yeah. And again, it's like, you were so sweet. Don't let this one jerk who left you at the altar turn you into a terrible
into a
person.
Bad
like,
person. Yeah. He I doesn't deserve really... that much power over you and your future.
Yeah.
Yep, nope, I'm with you on all of this.
I'm really conflicted about her because she's such a boss.
Yeah.
Which I love. Like, she achieved this, which is great. And I like how she ends up treating Raj in a way because he deserves it. But I just wish that, like, she was still nice to the people around her who literally are doing nothing but helping her or trying
just
to.
Just doing their jobs and, yeah.
But at least we know who hurt her.
Right, exactly. You know? Yes, we know who hurt her. And I think, you know, we get to see her kind of come to more the, like, I'm going to be a boss bitch instead of a bitch boss.
Exactly.
So as she's leaving the studio, Raj fights his way through the crowd of fans to get to her, and he ends up blocking her car. And she clearly recognizes him, but she just tells him to get out of the way. That night, she leaves for Capri, and Raj follows her. And she sees him arrive at her house, and she begrudgingly tells security to let him in. Raj tells her that he's proud of her, but she assumes that he is just there to take advantage of her fame. And he does apologize, and he says that he did a cheap thing, and she says, see how easy it is to tell the truth. Just then, one of her staff tells her that they have hired a new assistant for her, because remember, she fired her former assistant.
Yes.
But Radhika suggests that Raj become her assistant instead. And Raj agrees to this. And when he calls her Radhika, she tells him her name is Shreya. And anyway, to him, it's ma'am.
Yeah. And this is where I was like, good for you, girl. Yep.
Yeah, he deserves to kind of be put through the ringer a little bit.
Again, he didn't just come to say sorry, because he's done that.
Yeah.
He has come to get your forgiveness.
Exactly.
Which
yes.
You do not have to give. You do not owe that to him.
Right. That's a very good point and an important distinction to draw. Yes.
Yes.
So we see Radhika make Raj wait on her at a party, where at one point he bumps into her and she pushes him into the pool, where a white woman gleefully attempts to drown him.
You know, you gotta watch us white ladies. We'll get
you. You really do. Let's be clear. I did say we could be that white lady. Like, we could have been the white lady who tries to drown Raj for no apparent reason.
So, yeah, you know, you just can't trust us, I guess.
You never know where we might be lurking, waiting to strike.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. We then get a montage of Raj doing everything Radhika wants. She even makes him dance for her in the middle of a crowded square, which then gathers a huge audience and even earns him a tip from a passerby.
Yeah.
And I just mentioned this moment because I like that his dance had, like, a Rithik reference. And yeah. I feel there were other references, too, but I forgot to write them down.
Yeah, he really, like, pulled out all the stops.
He really did, yeah.
Did a great job.
Yep. And finally, we see Raj, he and Radhika are back at her Capri mansion, and he's removing toenail polish for her. And Raj ends up apologizing to her again, and Radhika breaks down, and she's like, I know why you left me. You could never have loved a cheap girl like me. And then she's like, that's how you made me feel when you destroyed what was supposed to be the most beautiful day of my life. And Raj tells her that her fear of heartbreak is causing her to push people away before they can hurt her again. She tells him, no, that's not what's happening. Her life is perfect. And he doesn't know what he's talking about. And he should just leave because she will never forgive him.
Yeah.
And Raj does leave, but Radhika goes after him and meets up with him at the airport. And she says that actually she is tired of wasting any more of her time hating him, which... good.
Yeah. Yeah. Also a waste of your time.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she's forgiving him so that she can move on from that day and move forward with her life. And then she sighs and says, that felt good.
Again, you don't have to forgive someone to forget them.
No, absolutely you don't. Yeah. You can move past so, that. There's no, you do not need to forgive a person who has wronged you. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. No.
So Raj thanks her, but she says that she should thank him because if he hadn't left, she never would have become Shreya. And also, if he had never come back, she would not have become Radhika again.
Yeah.
And Raj says that sometimes you need a little push to recognize yourself, and Radhika says he might have pushed a little too hard, but she does forgive him. So they hug, and he tells her it was a pleasure to meet her, which I did think that was kind of a sweet moment.
That is really sweet. Yeah.
And then a crowd of Radhika's fans gathers around, and she says the bitch has to get back to work.
I do really like Radhika's storyline here, because similarly to Mahi, I was just sitting here being like, I don't love that, you know, for the past like 8 years or so, she's been this person because she's just holding on to so much like hatred and fear about him. And I actually really liked that it turned out it wasn't so much that she was still caught up on him leaving her, but how him leaving her made her feel about herself.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, that I can understand struggling with for like 8 years.
Right. And also this has only been like 5 years.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But not that that's that big of a difference in number. And I totally agree. Like, that is something that's much harder to come back from. You know, the way that you maybe view yourself after somebody has hurt you and caused you to have a bad opinion of yourself. That's really hard to overcome when that sort of insecurity gets validated by an external source. It's hard to move past that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that it then takes the narrative off of, like, him and what he has caused. I mean, even though he did cause it, but then it's all about like her overcoming her own issues that arose as a result of that. So I liked that, because at first I was just like, oh my God, this guy, just like, he's not worth it. But then I was thinking, no, this is like a personal journey for her. And yes. I like that take on it.
I like that too. And I'm glad that you, again, made that distinction there, because I think that's really important. Anyway, Raj, his job done, his forgiveness earned, he returns home to Sydney, only to find dozens of letters that Gayatri has left for him, pushing them under the door to his apartment.
Yeah.
So apparently she started writing him these letters 6 months after they broke up, when he had already left for India, so he's been gone for 6 months. And it's now been a full year since their breakup. Her letters reveal that she never stopped thinking about him, she misses him, and she'll love him forever. The old-fashioned kind of love that is actually forever.
Yes.
Just as he's reading these letters and coming to this realization, a new letter arrives from Gayatri, and Raj runs out the door chasing after her, only catching her as she is accepting the fare from a man and his son who are trying his to get boy. To the airport. A man and his boy.
Yeah, and this guy is just like, this American guy is so American.
He's so American. Yeah, he's such a Karen.
Yeah, he is a Karen. But also, I love and find this so weird. Like, why is his kid bringing a basketball with him?
That's his carry-on.
To the airport?
I don't know.
Like, you know, like, I thought that the kid was, like, separate from the guy with the briefcase. It was just very weird staging. I don't know.
Well, I think it was weird costuming. It was like, these two aren't dressed as if they are a pair and are going to the airport. They're just dressed as if, like, this is a man and this is a boy.
Yes.
That is how they've been costumed. Yeah, so Raj gets in the cab with the man and the boy, and off they go to the airport. Raj tells Gayatri that he only just today saw her letters for the first time, because he's been traveling, and she yells at him for going on vacation while she has been crying her heart out for the last 6 months. The dad is now invested in this fight, which it has been in Hindi, so maybe he speaks Hindi. But so Gayatri then, like, pulls over on the side of the highway and then makes him and his young son walk the rest of the way to the airport along the side of the highway. Mm-hmm. Great. But Gayatri is a little flustered as she's talking to Raj, and she says that she is not in the habit of accepting her mistakes. And Raj says that he can help, since that's all he's been doing for the last 6 months. And so he says that she should say she loves him and ask if he still loves her. And so she asks him, well, if I did say all of that to you, how would you respond? And he simply steps forward and kisses her.
Yeah.
And he then tells her that they are the same and they've both made stupid mistakes and they're not perfect, but they're perfect for each other. And then they kiss some more, and it's this sweeping romance, and the camera's swinging around them, and I also really like that she, like, grabs his cheeks and pinches them. It's really cute.
It's really cute.
And that's it. That's the end. They all live happily ever after.
I love it. Except, again, he's just all like, it's okay, you're like me, and that's why we belong together.
Like, she's not like you.
And I'm like, so there's a huge difference between her saying from the get-go she didn't want to get married, and then you just
ignoring that.
Assuming that you would change her mind, and then her turning you down because of what she had already told you.
Yeah.
And you, like, taking advantage / abandoning your previous partners.
Right, yeah. I do wish that he had apologized to Gayatri for his assumptions that he had made at previous points. Yeah, I feel like what Raj deserved from these women was to be forgotten.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Not to have had this, like, lasting impact on these smart, strong, beautiful women.
Yeah, I didn't love that he had that power over them. But again, not, like, criticizing the movie for that, because we kind of needed that in order to make the plot happen.
But in real life,
I'm just like, no. If that happens to you, please do what you can. Lean on your other supports to not let that impact your life for multiple years.
Yes, have some therapy.
Yeah.
Move past it, and I say that in a healthy way. Move past it in a way that allows you to move on with your life.
Process it.
Yes.
Feel your grief.
Yes.
And then continue.
Yes. And take what you've learned into your next relationships and and hope and expect better. That's exactly why this is just like a silly movie. We're not supposed to learn any lessons from this plot. It's just like this is the story that's being told. But I think it is important to make sure we call attention to the ways that this maybe falls short of what would realistically be what people should be doing in relationships. Yes. Yeah. And when they end.
Yeah, I agree. And just once again, you don't have to forgive anyone.
Definitely not. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on does not mean forgiving somebody.
Unless it's eating at you to reach out and say, hey, I forgive you. It's not your problem.
Yeah. No.
Great.
Yeah.
But it was really fun. I definitely enjoyed it.
I'm glad you liked it. Yeah. It's a fun one. It's got, like we said, great dance numbers.
It was an easy way to pass, 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot less to think about than Animal.
Oh, yeah. Not as heavy.
Yeah.
So my research is very limited, so I just have one little tiny, tiny piece of research, sort of.
Yeah.
And then I have a quiz.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Because I figured I had to give you something.
Love a quiz.
So yes, first the research component. So Bachna e Hasino is actually taken from a song title that was originally composed by R.D. Burman and written by Majru Sultanpuri for the 1977 film Hum Kisise Kum Nahin. And this is, coincidentally, a film starring Rishi Kapoor, Ranbir's father, which is very fun. And this song also became one of the biggest hits of 1977.
Wow, that's cool.
It was a big deal, which I think is why the Chopras, 30 years later, were like, let's go.
Yeah.
So that's fun. And then I thought for a second, I was like, maybe the plots of these two movies are similar. But no.
No.
No. So just so everyone is aware, the plot of Hum Kisise Kum Nahin is a young heiress, daughter of a rich industrialist, wishes to get married to her childhood friend and fulfill a promise made to each other.
Oh.
Which sounds very romantic.
That does sound very romantic. Yeah.
Yeah. Big fan.
I definitely want to watch movies with Rishi Kapoor in them.
Yeah.
Young Rishi Kapoor. Or old Rishi Kapoor. I don't care.
Really any.
Just any.
We're here for it. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I do think it's interesting because I had seen that the movie was one that Rishi Kapoor starred in. And there's something about the fact that Ranbir was so closely tying his name to his dad's name by being in this movie. That feels like, I'm a Nepo baby. I mean, that wasn't really a term that kind of got thrown around.
But the concept was known.
And it was just I don't care. I have this association and I'm not going to pretend like I don't. And there's something about that I kind of respect in a way.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think about folks in the States who kind of deny that, not denying that they have those connections, but just denying that there's any real advantage to them having that. And I think just to be blatantly I'm in this movie because my dad was in that movie back then.
Yeah. It's kind of like what Aditya Chopra said, where he's like, yes, we have privilege. And also, what use is it if I don't take advantage of that privilege to achieve greatness?
Yeah, to tell a good story. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I do think, Ranbir Kapoor, I think, is one of the best actors in Bollywood. I don't think, I think there are other people who are just as good performers as he is. But that's, I think he just always loses himself in a role, which I think is really incredible.
Yeah.
This isn't necessarily an example of that, but that's just my way of saying, I'm okay with him having achieved what he's achieved as a Nepo baby, because he's very talented.
Yeah, I agree. Also, a fun fact about the title of this movie and the title of the song. Mm-hmm. Bachna e Hasino translates to careful, beautiful girls. So that's fun.
That is fun, yeah.
And now, a Ranbir Kapoor Alia Bhatt quiz.
Oh, okay.
It's 5 questions, and they're not that difficult.
Great.
So it's going to be okay.
I'm still nervous, but let's see how we do here.
Okay. This quiz is on Radio City.
Thanks, Radio City.
And it says, obsessed with Ranbir Alia? Let's see how well you know the couple.
Okay.
And you have options, so never going to be...
I love multiple choice.
And there's also only 2 options per
a 50-50 shot. Love it.
A 50-50 shot. So question 1. Which was Ali Abad and Ranbir Kapoor's first movie? Was it A, Brahmastra, or B, Bachna E Haseena?
A, Brahmastra.
Okay. We won't know if you got them right until the end of the quiz.
Oh my gosh, the suspense is killing me.
So, but you definitely got that one right.
Excellent.
So, well done. Yeah,
I didn't notice Alia in this one, so.
Can you imagine just like a subtle Alia, a where's Alia situation?
We've all had them.
Question two. Mm-hmm. Which was the place where Ranbir proposed to Alia?
Oh, okay.
A, Madagascar, or B, Masai Mara?
Oh.
I don't know where that is.
I'm gonna go with Madagascar, because that seems like fun.
That's what I said.
Damn.
So, yep, that's fine. Ooh, but question three. What is Alia and Ranbir's daughter's name? Is it A, Rhea Kapoor, or B, Raha Kapoor?
It's Raha, right?
It is Raha.
Excellent.
At least I'm pretty sure.
I wouldn't have known that without the multiple choice, but Raha mm-hmm. sounds
I think that's okay. Yeah. Question four. On which date did Alia and Ranbir tie the knot? And this is really going to be, unless you happen to remember, it's just going to be a guess, but A, April 13th, or B, April 14th.
What? Would they just be so close together? April 13th. Why not?
Okay, it's April 14th.
Darn.
And then the fifth and final question. In which Ranbir Kapoor's movie did Ali Abad make a cameo? Was it A, Tu Jhooti Main Makar, or B, Adil Hai Mushkil?
She doesn't make a cameo in Tu Jhooti Main Makar, so B.
That is correct. Yay. I also mispronounced that. Sorry. So you scored a 3 out of 5, which is how I also did.
Excellent.
But well done. I hope that that was fun for you.
Thank you.
And I hope we all learned a little something.
I know I did. Yeah, thank you. I love a good quiz. That's a lot of fun.
Right. It saves me on days when I'm like, oh God, I don't know.
Something I was thinking about, I think we've talked about this before, how Ranbir dated both Katrina Kaif and Deepika. And yeah. had some infidelity issues. Yeah. And I think this movie was made around the time that he and Deepika were dating.
Right.
And I really just want to talk about this from Deepika's perspective and the fact that she, like, she was an outsider in the industry. And she, like, early in her career had this relationship with this guy who was, like, a total insider, like, total yeah. privileged insider. And he cheats on her, which must have been devastating. And then she ends up dating Ranveer, who's, like, yeah. also an outsider. And, like, yeah. the whole story of them getting together is that she was like, you know, I don't want anything serious. And he was like, that's fine. I just want to hang out with you. And then now they're married yeah. and, like, expecting a child. And I'm just happy for her and her journey.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. Good for her. I want nothing but the best for all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Oh, Deepika and Ranbir, you precious people.
I know. I don't know that I've ever, like, loved a couple more.
Does it ever make you sad that there's, like, Americans out there who don't know that Deepika and Ranbir exist?
It does. I mean, I constantly think about how sad it is that, like, most of the people I interact with on a day-to-day basis have no idea what is coming out of the South Asian cinema world.
Yeah, and I'm just, they're really missing out.
Yeah, and I just get to have all this joy in my life that they don't have.
Yeah, it's a bummer for them.
Yeah.
But Bollywood news, do you have any?
I don't, no.
Okay, I, classic, don't either, so
nothing happening
that.
In Bollywood. Yeah.
Definitely not. If we don't talk about it, it's nothing, not happening. Yeah.
That is our white lady perspective, for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, pluggables. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. Do what you do.
Yeah.
You can also consider following us and subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You can also leave a rating or a review on said podcast platform. But as always, thank you so much for listening.
Indeed. And join us as well on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists, and finally going to get to add something again. I feel like this year we've added very little because we've been doing so much other stuff.
Dark stuff.
Dark stuff, musicless stuff. But if you want to listen along with those playlists, we link them in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Next week, we are finishing the final section of the Boggy franchise.
We are. For now.
For now. Yes. Yes. Boggy 4 is not out. We're very excited, though.
Yes.
But we will be watching Boggy 3.
Indeed.
Next week.
Yes.
Which is delightful. It stars Tiger Shroff.
Of course.
And it also stars some other people.
Shraddha Kapoor.
Shraddha Kapoor is back. That's right. Oh my goodness. Yes. And they are so cute together. Their energy is fire.
Always.
As the kids say.
Yeah.
Also features one of my favorite dance numbers ever.
Yeah.
Love a wedding dance number.
Always.
And that's happening.
Yeah.
Features brotherly love.
It does.
A lot of fighting. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You thought you saw Ronnie go up against helicopters. Just you wait.
Even more helicopters and jeeps. The trailer is playing as I'm sitting here looking at IMDb.
I'm sure it's distracting.
It is. Maybe it's worth mentioning that this is the lowest rated movie on IMDb that I think we've watched yet for the podcast.
Really?
It has 2.2 out of 10 stars.
There has to be. Like, Circus, come on.
Let's see. Circus has a 4.5.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Okay. We are now on a mission to raise the rating of Boggy 3 on IMDb.
Everyone listening, please go on and rate it 10 stars. You can say that you're not, that it's not great, but that we're just, all we're trying to do is beat Circus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There should not exist a world in which Circus has a higher rating than Boggy 3.
Than anything.
I'm sorry.
Circus should have a 0.
Than anything, yeah. That is the base that we are all working from.
Bottom of the barrel is Circus.
I also don't want to be here if the day comes when we can no longer crap on Circus.
Right. So, IMDb... short and sweet here. A man embarks on a bloody rampage to save his kidnapped brother.
True.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, there it is.
That's really all I remember about it, and the big dance number. But I don't even really remember that. I just remember that it was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember you made a GIF of a cute moment.
I did.
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. I look at it sometimes.
Maybe that'll feature in our TikTok video for next week.
Ooh, yeah. So Boggy 3 is available to buy or rent on YouTube. Again, if you are in a different part of the world than the U.S., perhaps you have an easier time accessing it. I don't know. But if you are in the U.S., you got to buy or rent it.
That's the deal.
On YouTube.
Yeah.
Or use your sneaky computer skills and find it a different way, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe if you got your VPN up and running.
Yeah. I will be buying it because
why not?
Because I'm a boggy girl.
She's a boggy girl in a boggy world.
I really am. The synopsis on YouTube, I can't even read it because it won't let me open it. So.
It's a mystery.
It is an absolute mystery. So we'll just leave it at what you said.
Yeah.
And take my word for it. It's a solid action flick.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. And that's all we're looking for. We've said it before. Like, we're not looking for anything more complicated from the Boggy films other than good action, good tiger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you get that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
Enjoy. And until next time, remember... Bollywood doesn't need us, mm-mm. But we need Bollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.